which draws our attention and invites all of us to think about the fact how important it is for each one of us to perform and stick to that goal. Allah says in this verse that He is the one who has sent a prophet amongst us, and the reason or the duties which are given to this prophet is that يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ to recite the verses of Holy Quran for us, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ and to purify their souls, themselves, and وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ teach them the knowledge of the book and wisdom. So we can realize how important it is in the eyes of Allah for all of us to perform tazkiyatun nafs, to purify our souls, our hearts, our qulub, and to learn the knowledge of the book and the wisdom. In fact, the reason why a person, a human, sets back and he's sidetracked from this purpose is that we perform the sins. And due to the sins that are performed, there are hijabat and curtains over our soul, and the curtains over the soul stop us from watching the hidden realities of the universe. Because this universe is not at all how it appears to be. What appears, what seems to be visible to our eyes is a totally different face. Whereas the realities hidden behind these apparent faces of these creatures, those realities are something totally different. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, is asking every single person to watch those hidden realities, which are the true faces of the entire existence. True faces of all those things that appear before us, they have a real face. We all are supposed to watch the real faces of the whole existence. And that is the purpose of sending down all the prophets and messengers. And this situation, when a human starts watching the realities of the universe, happens to every human being at the time of death. When we pass away from this world, every human, a Muslim or a non-Muslim, believer or an unbeliever, everybody watches those realities. Like we cannot see the paradise, the heaven, we cannot see the hell, we cannot see the angels, we can see the messengers, the imams, we can see nothing of those things. As soon as a person dies, or even in the final moments of his life, those final moments that we call, and technically we call it the waqtul ihtizar, alamul ihtizar, and we have special rules in Islam regarding the person who is in the stage of ihtizar. Ihtizar means when the death arrives, the state when the death arrives the person, reaches the person. He is just going to die after a few moments. Those final moments at the waqtul ihtilal, the curtains are removed and we can start seeing those things. We can start seeing the angels, we can start seeing the angel of death, we can start seeing the hell and the heaven, and even some people can even see their own places in the hell or in the heaven. We would certainly start seeing the Prophet and all the 12 Imams, like we have certain ahadith. And certain ahadith clearly state about Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Like he said to one of his companions called Haris al-Hamadani. Hamadan is a small village in Yemen. It's not the Hamadan of Iran. Just to make it clear, this Hamadan is a small village in Yemen. And that part of Yemen had a lot of true followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Yemen was a very rich place, very fertile land for the love of Ahlul Bayt. And Haris used to belong from that area. And Amir al-Mu'mineen, in this authentic and sahih hadith, said to him that, Ya Haru Hamadan, man yamut yarani. Whosoever dies sees me. At the time of death, every single person at the time of death watches Amir al-Mu'mineen. Whether a Muslim or a non-Muslim, doesn't matter. Wherever he may be. It is in the most authentic hadith that we have. And we have several hadiths that talk about this stuff. And some hadith say that even all the rest of the Imams and the Prophet also appear at the time and people see them. So, what I was talking is that at the time of death, just before death, few moments before death, when the curtains are removed, we start watching the realities. The Alamul Malakut, the batin of this world, the inner realities of this universe, which we never used to watch before. What Allah wanted from us by sending down 124,000 prophets was to start watching those hidden realities right now in our lives, before that. Because if we start watching those realities at the time of death, that's not a big deal. Because even the kafirs watch that. Even the unbelievers see those realities at the time of death. The perfection, the spiritual perfection of a human is supposed to lead him to a stage right in his lifetime to start watching those realities. That is the big deal. That's what we are supposed to do, and that's what the purpose for sending down all the messengers, to lead us to that stage, that the curtains and hijabat are set aside before our eyes. And that is exactly why we find that the tawbah and istighfar, somebody wants to seek forgiveness from Allah in those final moments of your life, is never acceptable. Because like I said, even the unbelievers also see those realities, not just the Muslims. So when you see the realities and bring faith in those things, it's not a big deal and it's unacceptable to Allah. Allah wants us to accept the realities of the universe, haqa'iq of the universe, the batin of the universe, in our lifetime, out of the evidences and signs and ayat and hujjaj that He has sent down for us in different forms, in the forms of His divine revelations and in the form of all those prophets and messengers. That is the iman bil ghayb. That is the faith in the hidden. That's what Islam is all about. If we have faith in the hidden, then we are mu'min. If we don't have faith in the hidden, and we only believe in Allah and His all the realities, only at the time of our death, that's even the kafirs do it. So what's the difference between us and the kafirs? Are we really believers in Allah? Do we really walk on the way of all the prophets and messengers? Everybody brought the same Islam for us and wanted us to lead towards the same single goal, and that is Allah. And that's why the tawbah is not acceptable, because now you watch. When you watch a thing, it is not ghaib, it is shuhud. In Arabic, they call it shuhud. It's now a witness. You are witnessing a thing by your eyes and then bringing faith in it. It's not acceptable. Because now the curtains are removed at the time of death. For everyone, not for you only. If you are a mu'min, you are supposed to abstain from the sins so that those curtains are removed right in your lifetime and you can become superior and different from all the rest of the unbelievers who are equally unable to watch those realities except at the time of death. That's why we find that even the most arrogant people in the history, take the example of Fir'aun, Pharaoh, in the final moments of his life when he was drowning in the Nile, he said that Amantu, I brought faith in Rabbi Haruna wa Musa, in the Lord of Moses, Musa and Harun. Now I'm a believer, because it's the final time of death. Now he's watching the angel of death before him, before his eyes. It's not a big deal. His tawbah is not acceptable. And that's the same thing that we are supposed to think about ourselves. And the reason why we find in this, in, we see in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talks about that, he says in Surah Yasin, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَذْقَانِ فَهُمْ مُقْمَحُونَ. The ayat we recite in Surah Yasin frequently. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا. أَغْلَال is the plural of ghil. And ghil in Arabic means a chain. We have tied up chains in their necks in such a way that they are unable to raise their heads and watch the real, their realities. What are those chains? And those are the same chains what Amir Mumineen is referring to in the Dua Kumail that we read every Thursday. وَقَعَدَتْ بِي أَغْلَالِي وَحَبَثَنِي النَّفْعِي بُعْدُ أَمَلِي وَخَدَعَتْنِي الدُّنْيَا بِغُرُورِهَا وَقَعَدَتْ بِي أَغْلَالِي. The same chains have made me, of course he is ma'soom, he doesn't stand in need of saying those things, but he's training us, he's teaching us to talk like that with Allah. So وَقَعَدَتْ بِي أَغْلَالِي, that means my chains have made me stuck to this world so that I cannot stand up. And those chains, like our scholars have said, are the chains of sins. The ghil and the aghlal are the chains of sins. A person, when he keeps on performing sins, these sins are, Amir Mumineen is resembling these sins to chains that stop you from moving towards those realities and advancing towards the purpose of your creation and the purpose of sending down the messengers. These chains are tied up, they don't let you walk, they don't let you advance. So, that is why our scholars of akhlaq have clearly stated that awjibul wajibat, the highest and most superior of all the wajib and obligatory things in Islam, is purifying yourself, purifying your soul, or doing the tazkiyatun nafs. There isn't any other wajib higher than that. Salawat. And in fact, all the positions that are rewarded by Allah Whatever the position we have been told in different texts, whether Jannatul Ma'wa, whether Jannatul Adn, whether Jannatul Firdaus, the highest level of the paradise, or even the higher level, the Jarullah, a person becomes a neighbor of Allah, or even the highest of all the levels, the Liqa'ullah, that means a person meets Allah, the level which is specific to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, the position of the Liqa'ullah. All these levels are given on amal, on act, that we have to perform, we have to do, until we start doing, until we purify our hearts, we can never expect reaching anywhere. In fact, such a life, inshallah, we shall talk about that more in the future speeches, and those things that are considered as obstacles in the way of purifying the nafs, which we shall discuss later, and how to remove those obstacles, and what is the solution, what is the clear-cut solution defined by Ahlul Bayt in different ahadith for us to reach our goal of creation that we shall discuss later on. So, all these positions and all these maqamat are provided by Allah upon amal and doing things. And if a person doesn't perform, doesn't move in that direction, just does not heed to all these warnings from Allah, he ignores, he neglects, he stays indifferent. Whatever, just imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down 124,000 prophets. They are gone. Even the seal of the messengers came and he is also gone. And then came the turn of the 11 Imams, one after the other. And now we are living in the final days of earth. The 12th one is in the absence. Isn't it right time for the people to realize? Because once the 12th Imam appears, again the door of Tawbah is closed. Whatever we are supposed to do, whatever we should do it right now before the appearance. Once he arrives, nobody can seek forgiveness. That's it. Like he himself has said in one of the ahadith, Tawqi'ul Mubarak, those ahadith that Imam used to send to his special representatives in the time of the lesser absence period. In one of those ahadith, our 12th Imam had said, فَإِنَّ أَمْرَنَا بَخْتَةً فُجْعَةً حِينَ لَا تَنْفَعُهُ تَوْبَةً. Our zuhur, our appearance, is all of a sudden. Baghtatan fuj'a. It's all of a sudden, unexpected. People would have been maybe thinking that he will not appear, either he doesn't even exist. Some people would deny his existence and become kafir. Some people would not deny, but they would be disappointed. They would not, never, don't expect that he's going to appear soon. And Imam says, فَإِنَّ بَخْتَةً أَمْرَنَا بَخْتَةً فُجْعَةً. Our appearance is all of a sudden. حِينَ لَا تَنْفَعُهُ تَوْبَةً. And once he's here, then the tawbah of no one is acceptable. So it's a really serious matter. If a human does not heed to all these warnings, such a human in the dictionary of Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt is considered to be, we have several versions, several different statements in different texts that talk about such kind of humans who don't care about what the Prophet and Imams have said, who don't care about what Allah has said, who don't care about what is there in the Holy Quran, all those warnings of Allah. Such a humans are certain, some places they say this is, they are jahil, totally ignorant. Certain say that these people are dead, and they are the living dead people. لَهُمْ أَذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. True that they have ears, such humans who don't heed to all these warnings. True that they have ears, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا, but they don't listen through those ears. We find even everybody is listening with the ears. How come Allah is saying that these people have ears but they don't listen? apparently the verse of the Holy Quran means that all these people who don't heed to the warnings of Allah are deaf. But they are not. They are not deaf. They listen. But Allah says, no, they are deaf. He doesn't care whether the people think to be listening, capable of listening or not. Allah says they are deaf. Why? Because they do not listen to what they are supposed to listen. They listen to all the rest of the things. لَهُمْ أَعْذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have ears, but they don't listen. So they are deaf in the dictionary of Allah. لَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. These people have eyes. لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا, but they don't see. Allah says they don't see. They are blind. And again, everybody is seeing, but Allah says they are blind because they don't see what they are supposed to see. They see all the rest of the things. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts with which they do not ponder. They don't think. They don't think deeply why a human is created, why we are sent here. Like Amirul Mumineen says in his hadith, that رَحِمَ اللَّهُ إِمْرَأً أَلِمَ مِنْ أَيْنَ وَفِي أَيْنَ وَإِلَىٰ أَيْنَ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on such a person who thinks, where, from where did he come? Where did he come from? Min ayna, what is his point of origin? He thinks about that. Allah sent me, he created me, why? Who is my creator? He thinks about that issue. It's very important. Wafi ayna, and where is he right now? We are here in this life, in this world. Why? Just for the sake of making more and more money and having more and more children and buying houses and all those worldly belongings, and once all of a sudden we find ourselves dead. Is that a purpose of creation? That's stupid. Na'udzubillah, Allah is not stupid. That's a silly purpose, to create the humans and let them do what they wish to do, to decide on their own what they want to do, and then make them die. So why did he create that? That's not the reason. So Amir al-Mumin says, may Allah have mercy on the person who realizes what is his point of origin, where did he come from, where is he right now. If we realize where are we right now, we would also realize what are our duties here. And the third point, ila aina, where is he heading to? What is his destination? And this situation of a human, that he does not respond to the warnings, does not listen to the teachings of Allah and Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, does not watch all those things that he was supposed to watch, all those signs and warnings of Allah, and does not think about all those things that we are supposed to think about. Such a human is أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are like animals. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. Instead they are worse. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. And in certain verses of the Holy Quran, Allah again gives a beautiful example. He gives that these people are like أَحْجَار. These people are like stones. They are stone-hearted people. Because just see the situation. Allah is our creator. He sent down 124,000 of his people, closest people, to warn us, but we still did not change. So we are really deaf and dumb. And senseless. So they are like stones. And then the verse of Holy Quran moves forward and says that even the stones, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحَجَرِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ. And even among the stones we find there are stones that break up and the fountains come out from the middle of the stones. Even among the stones we find certain stones that break up and the fountains are coming out through it. So such a soft and tender thing like water is breaking up such a hard thing like a stone. So the heart of a stone is broken by a soft thing like water, but the hearts of these people are unchanged by all these warnings of Allah. So no doubt they are, you cannot call them stone hearted, they are worse than that, because stone is better than them. Stone is better than them. And we are instructed about both the sides of it. If we move forward and purify our hearts, understand the purpose of our creation, understand the purpose of sending down all those messengers for and prophets for us, a person reaches the stage what hadith of the Prophet says, that qalbul mu'min arshur rahman. The heart, the soul of a mu'min is the throne of Allah. It's the place where that belongs to Allah. Allah is in the ruh and soul and qalb of a mu'min. How high our heart becomes? It's the home of Allah. And on the other side, we become worse than the stones. Salawat. That is why it was a constant tradition of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt that they never used to talk about everything to everyone, because everybody is different. Everybody has a different situation and condition of soul. This word that we frequently use, qalb, we have one thing that is the same soul. In certain knowledges it is referred to as qalb, because we are talking from a different aspect, although it's the same thing. In certain things we find it is called as nafs, which is the same ruh, but again from a different aspect. And all those other kinds of nafs that we shall, inshallah, talk about in the future speeches, there are also, it's not like that these are different ruh, different souls existing all at a time. No, it is the one same single ruh, but having the different names from different aspects. So, because the situation of the soul or qalb or ruh of a person is different from another person, that is why our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt never used to talk to people in equally, in one session, in one way. Their method of preaching, their talk, their conversation was different towards every person. We find hadith when a person is coming, the Khawarij, the same group that Maulana was referring to in his last speech, the same group that broke away, those munafiqs who were worse than kuffar, that break away from the army of Imam Ali alayhi salam at the incident of the Battle of Siffin, and then fought a battle against the Imam of their time. Those stupid Khawarij people, when 10 of those people, you know, when they came to fight Imam Ali alayhi salam, in total they were 12,000, and it was a constant tradition of Imam Ali and constant tradition of the Prophet to advise the people before fight, because in Islam we are not here to, the purpose of fighting is not just killing the people. The purpose why we fight is to invite them towards Islam, not just to kill the lives. So we find that the Holy Prophet always used to do that, and Imam Ali always used to do that, and likewise it was a tradition of all the Imams without a difference. And Prophet said to Imam Ali when he was sending him to the Battle of Khaybar, on the 40th day when all those companions went back, run away from the battlefield for 39 days, throwing up the alam there and insulting and humiliating the entire Islamic Ummah and the Prophet. And now on the 40th day, Prophet, everybody is so relentlessly waiting for victory, because it's already too late. Prophet is sending the best of the people Imam Ali alayhi salam to fight the battle and win. And at that critical moment when he's sending Imam Ali, look at the statement of the Prophet. He's not talking to him, hey, when you go there, don't leave any single human alive. Just kill them, do a massacre. No, nothing of that sort. He says that, Ya Ali, لو إذا لو هداك الله لو رجلا واحدا أن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا أفضل أو خير لك من الدنيا وما فيها. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives hidayat and guidance to one person through you, is better than the whole world and whatever is there in it. So the purpose of fighting is providing guidance, not killing. It is totally false what the Western people allege, the Muslims, that Islam was spread by the power of a sword. It never happened like that. Never in the time of the Prophet. Never our Prophet and Imams never did like that. It's against Islamic theology to make people Muslims out of force. So Imam did the same towards Khawarij. It was his constant, it's the sunnah of the Prophet. It was his sunnah as well. And when those 12,000 of the Khawarij came to fight Imam Ali in the Battle of Nahrawan, again, he went to them, he advised them, and out of his advice, 8,000 people left the battlefield. Only 4,000 remained there. And among those 4,000, all of them died except 9 people who fled away. All of them died. So what I was telling you is that the purpose of battle is not killing the people, to advise and bring them to guidance. And the Prophet and Imams are always talking to different people in a different way according to the level of their soul and heart and level of their intellect. Like Prophet himself has said that إِنَّ مَعَاشَرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ أُمِّرْنَا أَن نُكَلِّمَ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ أُقُولِهِمْ. We, the messengers, the prophets, are ordered by Allah to talk to the people according to their mental level. Not higher than that, nor not lower than that. Exactly according to their mental level. Whatever they used to say to Salman al-Farsi, they never used to say to Abu Zar. Because Abu Zar does not deserve to be told all those things. Salman is on the 10th level of Iman, the highest level of Iman, and that's why he was privileged with the hadith from the Holy Prophet, which was never said for any other person in the entire history, that As-Salman minna Ahl al-Bayt. Salman is among us, Ahl al-Bayt. He is on the highest stage of Iman. So Prophet and Ahl al-Bayt never used to talk to Abu Zar, who is on the 9th level, one level below that, below the highest level. Never used to talk to him in the same way. Even when we find in some of the ahadith saying that لَوْ عَلِمَ أَبُو ذَرَ مَا فِي قَلْبِ سَلْمَانَ لَقَتَلَهُ. If Abu Zar knows what is in the heart of Salman Farsi, he would kill him. Because there is such a big difference between the levels of Iman. Maybe there are things which are unable to be told to Abu Zar because he cannot comprehend. He doesn't belong to that level of Iman because the purification of the heart is different. Whatever they used to tell to Miqdad is different, is less than what they used to tell to Abu Zar. Abu Zar is on the higher level than Miqdad. And that is true for all of us. The knowledge of Allah that we are seeking, the knowledge of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt that we are seeking, is considered to be the noor of Allah. العلم نور يقذفه الله في قلب من يشاء. Ilm is the knowledge, the light that Allah puts in the hearts of those He wishes, His beloved people. So all it takes for us to receive the divine knowledge is the purification of the heart. Now it's up to us. As much as we can purify our hearts, we would certainly receive that blessing of Allah, that light of knowledge. Because Allah is not a miser. He is not bakhil. Why do we find Allah is providing the knowledge of His divine knowledge to some people, not to us? Because He is a miser? No. Because we don't deserve it. And since we don't deserve, we don't deserve because we did not purify ourselves. We are reaching our whatever age we are, whatever stage of our age we are, we have not realized the purpose of the creation. Why do we deserve to be told? Amir al-Mu'mineen says in one of his hadith that la tu'allaqu al-jawahir fi a'naq al-khanazir. And like it is narrated by Shaheed al-Thani, our great scholar from Lebanon and a great marje from Lebanon, Shaheed al-Thani. He has a very beautiful book, Adabul At-Ta'allum Fi Ilm Al-Mufid Wal-Mustafid, where he talks about the etiquette and the rules about learning Islamic knowledge. And in that book he narrates this hadith that Amir al-Mu'mineen has said that don't hang the jewels in the neck of the pigs. Fi a'naq al-khanazir. Khanazir is the plural of khinzir, pig. And Shaheed Asani performed to the tafsir interpretation of this hadith that do not teach the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt to those people who don't deserve it. It's just like hanging the jewels in the neck of the pigs. So we can easily understand that the missing dimension in our life is the purification of the heart. Since the Prophet is not a miser, Ahlul Bayt are not miser, and Allah is not a miser. They are ready to bless us with the best and the highest of all the blessings if we are capable. Fudhail ibn Ayyaz, one of the persons, say salawat. Fudhail ibn Ayyaz was a person, and our Sunni brothers consider him to be a very, very, holy person, a saint, and respect him a lot. So Fudhail ibn Ayyaz was a person who was a dacoit. He used to rob the caravans in those days and rob the people, and he was a dacoit. And once the history says that the same person, he was sitting on the roof of a house to just jump into the backyard and for stealing something from the house in the middle of the night. And as he was sitting on the roof of the house, he found the person in the middle of the night, the man who used to live in that house, he's reading the Holy Quran. And the verse of the Holy Quran that he was reciting is that أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Isn't it the right time for the followers? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Isn't it the right time for the followers that their heart starts fearing Allah? When would it come? When would be the time? When the time would arrive in our life that the believers in Allah would start fearing Allah? When? Till when we are busy in ourselves? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And history says that as soon as Fudhail ibn Ayyaz heard this verse of the Holy Quran that the person was reciting in the middle of the night, he was shocked. He was shocked, and he jumped out of the house and ran and did istighfar immediately, and he said to Allah that, "Oh my Lord, I'm not gonna do any wrong thing, any sin again in my life." Just see one single verse changing the life of a person. And as he was running back on his way, he found that another caravan was passing in the desert, and he's hiding in a bush. And as he was hiding close to the caravan, he heard himself that people in that caravan were talking to each other. See, it's the night time, beware, maybe Fudail is somewhere around and he can come and rob our caravan. And he himself is hearing this conversation going on between people in the caravan. He was such a famous decoy. But one verse of the Holy Quran changes his life. We never know. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly asking us, and likewise in our hadith, to warn the people, advise them constantly. Maybe sometime it works. Maybe somebody starts thinking all of a sudden and changes his life. Like a person came in the time of the Holy Prophet and asked him to teach me the Holy Quran. A person, a villager from the desert, a Bedouin, came, asked the Prophet, teach me Holy Quran. I don't know how to recite it. I want to learn Quran. And Prophet asked one of his companions to teach this guy. And the riwayat says that this person, this companion of the Prophet, taught him Surah Al-Shams. وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُّحَاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ. And when he was done, this person said that, well, that's enough. That is sufficient for me. He just learned one chapter of the Holy Quran. And he said that is sufficient for me. And just went away, walked away. And Prophet remarked that رَجَعَ فَقِيهًا. This person went away as an expert of Islamic jurisprudence. This person is now a faqih, in fact. He is returning back in the condition of tafaqquh. He is an expert of Islamic fiqh. Just learning one surah, one chapter of the Holy Quran. We never know. And in the same Surah Al-Shams, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly stated, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The success is only for the person, in other words, who performs تَزْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Salawat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says that Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. We recite the Surah Al-Baqarah. That this Quran is a hidayat, a guidance, a means of guidance for those who have taqwa. So in other words, Allah does not say this Quran is a guidance for everyone. No, it's not like that. Because everyone is not ready to understand. Everyone is not ready to listen. It's only a guidance and hidayat for those who have taqwa. Those whose hearts fear Allah. They are the ones who can realize what they are supposed to do. Not other people. And in the same Surah Al-Baqarah, when the surah moves forward, Allah says, Hudan linnas, that it is hidayat for the people. And nas means all the people. The Quran is hidayat for all the people. And that is why our scholars and our mufassireen say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he wants to say is that the person who doesn't have taqwa is not considered to be a human. Because on one side he says, this Quran is hidayat for those who are muttaqi, those who have the fear of Allah. On the other side he says in the same surah, that this is a guidance for all the people. So in fact, those who are muttaqi are the people. Those who are not muttaqi are not the humans, in fact. If they were the humans, they have no other option except to become muttaqi. So those who are not muttaqi are not humans. They are worse than animals. And if they are humans, they will have taqwa. And if they have taqwa, they will fear Allah and stop performing sins. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. In his one of his du'as, I recall that Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, in one of his speeches, he was saying, "See our big treasure that we have, alhamdulillah, in our hands, is the du'a from Ahlul Bayt. This is, I think, such a great treasure that can never be found with any other religion in the world. The du'as and supplications that are narrated from Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, which is the highest of all the treasures." And I heard Imam himself saying in one of his speeches that never underestimate the level of the du'as of Ahlul Bayt. Because these du'as are considered to be equal to the Holy Qur'an. And the difference between the Holy Qur'an and the du'as of Ahlul Bayt is that the Qur'an is called the Qur'an al-Nazil. Whereas the du'as of Ahlul Bayt, Qur'an al-Nazil means the Qur'an that descended, that came down from the heavens to us. The Qur'an which is Nazil, it came from the higher level down to us. It is Nazil. Whereas the du'as of Ahlul Bayt are Qur'an al-Sa'id. It is the Qur'an that ascended towards the heavens. Because it went from the earth towards the heavens. Because Ahlul Bayt are talking to Allah. Whereas in the Holy Qur'an, Allah is talking to the humans. And I already told you the hadith of the Prophet that inna ma'ashar al-anbiya, it's our tradition that we always talk to the people. We are ordered by Allah to talk to the people according to their mental levels. So in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the people. That's why it's a simplified version. Whereas in the du'as, Ahlul Bayt are talking to Allah, not to the people. So it's not less than Quran. In fact, it is equal to Quran. And the difference is that it is Quran al-Sa'id. It's the ascending Quran that goes from the earth towards the heavens. Because the person who is talking is Ahlul Bayt. They are Ahlul Bayt. And the person who is addressed is Allah. They are not talking to us. So the level of their conversation is so high. That is why one of the persons asked Imam Khomeini, that in your opinion, because he was one of the biggest arifs of all times, that in your opinion, what is the best dua that we should recite? What's the most beautiful dua in your opinion? And he said, the best dua, in my opinion, is the first is the dua Kumail, and the second is Munajat Shabaniya. And the reason what he defined, that the reason why Dua Kumail, in my opinion, is the best, because Amir al-Mu'mineen in that Dua is not even mentioning the paradise in that Dua. There is no mention of the heaven. Because Amir al-Mu'mineen is talking to Allah regardless of the heaven. All he's thinking about is Allah, not the heaven. That is why we find that Amir al-Mu'mineen has said that Ilahi, ma abadtuka khawfan min narika, wala tam'an li jannatika, wala tam'an fi jannatika, walakin wajadtuka ahlan lil ibadati fa abadtuk. Oh my Lord, I did not worship you throughout my life. I did not worship you for the scare of your hellfire, nor did I worship you for the greed of your heaven. In fact, I found you deserving to be worshipped. That is why I worship. Because Allah deserves to be worshipped. That is why I worship you, not for the scare of your hellfire. This is for tilka ibadatul abid. This is the form of ibadat that the slaves perform. If we worship Allah for the sake of the scare of the fire, it's just like the worship of the slaves. In the similar way, like the slaves are scared from their masters, we are scared from our master. He would punish us. If we don't do that, He would send us to hell. This is the worship of saints. And if we worship Allah for the sake of the greed of the paradise, which is okay, it's not haram, but that is the worship of tujjar. Tilka ibadatu tujjar. That's the worship of businessmen. They are giving something and taking something against it, doing ibadat just to get the reward. Whereas Amirul Mu'mineen and the beloved awliya of Allah perform the ibadat not for the scare of fire or the greed of heaven, just for the sake of Allah. And that is why they reach the highest stage possible, which is the stage of liqa'ullah. And our scholars say that nothing can be the reward of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt except liqa'ullah, meeting Allah. That's the only possible reward for Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Nothing less than that. Paradise is nothing. Paradise is for the followers of Ahlul Bayt. And on the other side, that is why we find Amirul Mu'mineen was so ignoring towards this world. Nahjul Balagha, our scholars, you know what they call this book? Our scholars say, this is the book, Kitabu Zammil Zammid Dunya. This is the book of condemning the world. We find everywhere in Nahjul Balagha, Amirul Mu'mineen is condemning this dunya. It's full of condemnation. Kitabu Mazammatid Dunya. And that's why we find that the same Umar ibn al-Aaf, famous advisor of Muawiyah, how much corruption he did, all those corruptions and cruelty and zulm that he performed throughout his life towards Ahlul Bayt, animosity, enmity that he showed towards Ahlul Bayt, and all those evil plots that he planned against Ahlul Bayt, for what? Just to what he got in the reward from Muawiyah was the government of Egypt for 2 years, and then he passed away. Is it really worth for an intellectual person to analyze? Is it really worth for a human, just for the sake of 2 year government over Egypt, you did all those corruptions? And on the other hand, the followers of Imam Ali. Let's have a look over the followers. The followers of Imam Ali, like Uday bin Hatim, the son of Hatim al-Ta'i, very staunch ally of Imam Ali, very great companion. And he was once visiting Syria. In fact, when we say Syria, it's not a correct statement, because in those days, Sham used to include a wider area than Syria right now. Shamat used to include Syria and Jordan and Lebanon and Palestine and parts of Turkey. It was a very wide country in those days. Right now we call it Syria, but it's not Syria. Sham was a bigger country in those days. So Uday bin Hatim was visiting Sham, Damascus, in those days for his personal visit. And it was a constant tradition of Muawiyah, whenever he used to hear that one of the companions of Ali is in the town, he used to force him to show up in his palace. That was a constant tradition of Muawiyah. And that's what he did towards Uday, and asked him to come. And Uday showed up in the palace. As soon as he entered the palace, the first statement that Muawiyah said was, what he wanted to do is that he always forced the companions of Imam Ali to abuse Imam Ali in the face of Muawiyah, just to get some money, some reward. And if people didn't abuse, then he used to force them or bribe them. If force doesn't work, then he used to bribe them so that they abuse Imam Ali openly before the whole people in the palace. So when Uday entered the palace of Muawiyah, Muawiyah said a statement to him that Ayn al-Tarufat? Tarufat, in fact, he was taunting over Uday, because Oh, they had four sons, Tarfa, Tarif, Turesh, and Atraf. He had four sons. And all of those four, Muawiyah has combined all the names of these four sons in one word as At-Tarfat, and taunting over Uday by saying that, where are your four sons? Ali did injustice towards you because your four sons have passed away, whereas Ali's sons are alive. Hassan and Hussein are not killed. Because all the four sons of Uday bin Hatim sacrificed their lives along with Imam Ali in the Battle of Siffin. All of them became shaheed. Four sons of one person. So Muawiyah is taunting that Ali did injustice towards you. Your sons are gone, whereas the sons of Ali are still living. This is injustice. Look at what Uday responds. This is the love of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says that, in fact, I did injustice towards Ali, because Ali has passed away, he has become shaheed, because he was visiting Syria after the Shahadat of Amir Mumin. He says, because Ali has passed away, whereas me, myself, I am living still. I am alive. I did injustice towards Ali. I was also supposed to sacrifice along with my sons. And when Muawiyah heard that Uday is not the like of person to abuse Imam Ali, and he's not going to bend down and bow down before Muawiyah, he changed the gear and he softened his tone and said, okay, Uday, now just tell me something about Ali, some good thing about Ali, some fadilat about Ali. How did you find Ali in your life? You were so close to him. Forget about the rest. And Uday said, now he came to the point, Uday said that once I was in the Masjid of Kufa and I found my Mawla in the middle of the night standing in the mihrab, in the altar, and praying where there was no one else in the mosque, praying alone in the middle of the night and shivering with the fear of Allah and saying these words to Allah that, ah, min qillat zad wa tul safar. The travel is so long. The travel that we are traveling towards our final destination, this trip is so long. We have to go a long way. Imagine people who passed away 1,000 years back, lying in their graves, waiting for the Day of Judgment. People passed away 1,000,000 years back. Let's suppose. All those people who passed away in the past, waiting for their resurrection. Ah, min qillat zad wa tul safar. The trip is so long, whereas the sustenance, the zad, the necessary things that we require to have along with us, those a'mal saliha that we require, those good acts that we need, that taqwa that we need to take along with us, is so less. And giving three divorces to this dunya, قَدْ تَلَّقْتُكِ ثَلَاثًا لَا رَجْعَةَ بَعْدَهَا أَبَدًا. I have given three divorces to you, this world, and all these worldly glitter and glamour and all these things that absorb the people towards this dunya and all the wealth of this dunya. I have divorced you thrice, where it's impossible in Islam to get back after the third divorce. Such was Imam Ali. And Muawiyah, with all that stone-heartedness, that was the occasion we find in the history that Muawiyah started weeping with real tears and said that, yeah, you are right, that's how Ali was. That was the condition of Imam Ali, and that was the condition of his sons, because his sons were also similar to him. That was the situation of all the Imams that we find that in Karbala, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam started in the beginning of the day of Ashura, advising the enemy, giving a sermon after another sermon. He delivered several sermons. He rode the camel back and addressed and gave a sermon to the enemies, which again is an indication that I didn't come here to fight, because nobody comes to fight riding a camel back. You have to ride a horse to fight, or you should be on the ground, standing on the ground to fight, not on the camel. Camel was never used for fighting. For the fighters, they never used the camels. Imam rode the camel back on the day of Ashura and delivered his sermon to them. But there is no response. Again, because the hearts are so strong, worse than animals, that the Imam and the Hujjat and the best person on earth is addressing you, but there is no response. Not because there is anything wrong in the statements of Imam Hussein, not because his teachings, his sermons was wrong or not absorbing, no. The hearts of the people are not capable to accept it, to realize it, because they are stone hearted and they did not purify. And Umar ibn Sa'd, Imam advised him, the commander-in-chief of the Yazid's army, advised him by saying, he first asked him, why are you here to kill me? And Umar ibn Sa'd said, because if I don't do that, because first of all, Yazid has promised me to give a big, big house, a palace. He said, I guarantee a house for you. And then he brought another excuse. Yazid has promised me to give the government of that area, which is called Ray, which is right now included in Tehran, it's now one of the suburbs of Tehran. In those days it was a separate area, a Ray, a very green and fertile land. There were gardens and everything. So Yazid has promised me the government of that area of Ray. Imam said, I promise you to give a house in paradise. And he said, Yazid is going to kill my wife and children. The third statement of Umar ibn Sa'd. And that was the place where Imam Hussein stopped talking to him. Didn't say a word after it. What do you mean by that? The life of your wife and children is more important than the life of the Haram of the Holy Prophet, than the life of the son of the Prophet and his family members. Just to safeguard the life of your wife and children, you're ready to kill others? How can you bring that justification? Imam did not say a word to him. And he was the first person who addressed the army in the morning after the Fajr prayers, that, oh, the people of the army, be a witness before Yazid that I am the first person throwing the first arrow against Hussein. And the history says that as soon as Umar ibn Sa'd sent his arrow, there were 4,000 arrows coming towards the companions of Imam Hussein and the khaymah of Imam Hussein. And the riwayat says that almost 40 of the Imam's companions became shaheed in that occasion, right in the beginning of the day. 4,000 arrows coming. 40 of the companions got shaheed right then and there. This is the situation. And same is, we find that when he was sending his son Ali Akbar, again he addresses to, he curses Umar ibn Sa'd in the words that قَتَ أَلَّهُ رَحِمَكَ كَمَا قَتَعْتَ رَحِمِي. May Allah cut your generation like you are killing my generation, because he's sending someone. فَقَدْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ غُلَامٌ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلْقًا وَمَنْتِقًا بِرَسُولِكَ. Because now I'm sending towards them such a young boy who is the most resembling towards the Holy Prophet in his form, in his faith, and his attitude and his conversation and all the aspects, Ali Akbar is the most resembling towards the Holy Prophet. And kunna idha ishtaqna ila ziyarati rasulika nazarna ilayhi. Whenever we used to love to watch the Holy Prophet, Imam Hussein says, whenever we wish to see the Holy Prophet, we used to look at Ali Akbar. How beloved Ali Akbar is to Imam Hussein. And we find one other moment where Hazrat Zainab is addressing Umar ibn Khattab, and that was the occasion, that was the final time of our Imam, when Imam was lying on the ground and Shimr was on top of Imam and slaughtering Imam Hussein. At that time we find Hazrat Zainab came out of the Khaymah and went on top of the hill and addressed Umar ibn Khattab, Ayyuktalu Abu Abdullah. That Imam Hussein is killed, my brother is killed, and you are watching that and you are doing nothing for that. This is the situation of the army, and this is the situation, just one incident, because of the travel of towards Kufa and Sham, just one incident in Kufa, and I would finish my speech, that when this caravan arrived in the bazaar of Kufa, all these ladies who are prisoners and tied up all together in one rope, in one chain, and Imam Sajjad is walking in the front, tied up with the chains, and the heads of all the shuhada are on top of the spears. And it was such a strange situation. And now when this strange caravan is arriving in the bazaar of Kufa, we find that the women of Kufa, they are now crying. And Umm Kulsoom says that, that you women, your men kill us, whereas you come forward and you are crying over us, your husbands kill us and you are crying us. And this is the situation. Now they came, Umm Habiba says that she came and started distributing some dates towards the Haram of Ahlul Bayt, and distributing as the sadaqah. And as soon as Hazrat Zainab knew that Umm Habiba is distributing the sadaqah to Ahlul Bayt, to the prisoners, she stopped, she took the sadaqah and threw it away, took the dates and threw it away, that it is inna sadaqata alayna muharramatun, it is haram on us Ahlul Bayt to use the sadaqah, we cannot use the sadaqah. And Umm Habiba was surprised, she asked Hazrat Zainab, why couldn't you eat the sadaqah? Because she said, it is haram on us. And she said, okay, it is not the sadaqah, in fact it is not the sadaqah, it is the date of the nazar that I did. Hazrat Zainab asked, what nazar did you perform? Umm Habiba says that I did the nazar that may Allah bless me to go and visit my Mawla Hussein ibn Ali. I have a Mawla in Medina, and I have a princess Hazrat Zainab living in Medina, and she is my lady. I did the nazar to go, may Allah bless me to go and visit them. And Hazrat Zainab, as she hears that, she says to Umm Salama, Allah has fulfilled your nazar. Now no need for you to go to Medina. And Umm Habiba says, why? She says that Zainab has arrived to your town. Zainab is in Kufa. Umm Habiba says, where is Zainab? When did she arrive? Why? How come I didn't know about Zainab? And Hazrat Zainab says, that Umm Habiba, it is right for you not to recognize Zainab, because the Zainab you saw in Medina was not in this condition. The Zainab right now is a prisoner in this condition. And Umm Habiba said, are you Zainab? If you are Zainab, then my Zainab had one sign, one alamat, and the alamat of my Zainab was that she was never separated from her brother Hussein ibn Ali. Zainab was always with Hussein. And Zainab, Hazrat Zainab pointed towards the head of Imam Hussein, saying that that is the head of Imam Hussein. Zainab in fact is not separated from her brother. Oh,
فلا لعنه الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون انا لله وانا اليه راجعون الهي بحق الزهراء وابيها وبعلها وبنيها اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما يحول بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به رضوانك ومن اليقين ما يهون علينا به مصيبات الدنيا اللهم امتعنا باسماعنا وابصارنا وقواتنا ما احييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثارنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا اكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا بحق محمد وآله الطاهرين با الہ پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما پرچم کفر و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام کے تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار رکھ تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما تمام اسیران اسلام بالخصوص جو اسرائیل کے زندانوں میں جلد سے رہا فرما تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما با الہ ہماری اس قلیل عبادت کو قبول فرما با الہ ہم اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک تو ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائے امام زمانہ کے ظہور میں تعطیل فرما ہم سب کو ان کے انصار